Ida Linden's story. Aunt Ida, we're going to make a little tape today. I think we talked about what the tape is for. Let's start off by getting some information for the record, okay? All right. First of all, your name and your maiden name. My maiden name was Ida Mandelbaum. Now it's Ida Linden. In Yiddish, my name was Chaika. Who are you named after? I'm named after my grandmother. Chaika means life. Judy Levine's name is Chia, which is the same. Can you tell me how old you are? I'm 74. I was born in a little town in Russia named Paritsik. It's not too far from Vladimir. Now it's Poland. It was Russia then. I was 12 years old when I came to the United States. My father was in the States for 7 years before I came, so I was about 5 years old when he left for America. I hardly remember my father leaving. My older brother Morris remembers it, but I hardly recall it. You must have a lot of memories of Europe. Did you go to school there? I went to school in Europe. It was a Seder. I learned to read Hebrew and how to write and read Yiddish. I still know how to read and write Yiddish, and it's a good thing that I do because we have so many cousins in Israel, and it makes it very nice to know that you could write to them and they can read it. I was always happy that I learned how to write Yiddish. Do you have many memories of your childhood? I have a funny little memory. You know how when you're a child, some things just stand out in your mind? I knew how to read and write Yiddish. The older people who were neighbors didn't. One lady came to me one day and she said, "Chaika, I need a Yiddish letter to my son. He's in America and he lives in New York." I said, "All right." And I took a piece of paper and a pencil and I said, "Let's go. Was willst du schreiben? What do you want to write?" So she thought and she thought and she said, "I don't know. You know what, until I think of what to say, give him my best regards." What sort of games did you play as a child? Hopscotch. We would make designs on the street. I don't remember what we called the game. Of course, rope. Everybody jumped rope. We didn't have a lot of time to play games. We were a large family, and there was a lot of work. We went to Seder, we had a cow, we had a little store, and I was a salesgirl. They would give me a bowl of butter, and I would go to the rich people in town and show them how beautiful the butter was, and I could get an order for them. One day, a big peasant came up to me and hit me across my arms with a whip. The butter fell out of the bowl and landed on the ground. I started to cry. Somebody picked up the butter and put it back into the bowl. I got a licking when I got home. I should never have carried that butter out in the open where it could be seen. But whenever we had something to sell, we would go out to the richer families and take orders and deliver the items. We would have milk. It was not pasteurized, but we were lucky. We never got sick from it. I will say one thing. We didn't have much else, but we had enough food. We were never hungry. And we had one tenant in the house who helped support us. My mother had quite a few brothers, four, in another town. My father also had brothers in another town. But who could go visiting in those days? You know, we lived in this little town. There were only Jewish people there. Whenever we heard that the Cossacks were in town, the doors were quickly locked. The shutters were closed. The girls were sent up into the attic. That's where they used to hide us. The boys could be left downstairs, but the girls were sent up into the attic. This was a terrible fear to live through. Believe me, I was so glad to leave Russia after all the terrible stories about the Cossacks, because in some homes they did break in. If they couldn't rape the daughters, they raped the mothers. I hope, since the Russian regime has changed, that these things don't exist anymore. Weren't you scared when you had to come here? We were scared. We were terribly scared. We didn't know what would happen to us. Maybe the ship would sink. How would we get there? My father wrote, he sent us the cards, the ship cards. He said, "Take a train to Lemberg. There a man will meet you, and he will take you to the ship." The man was connected to the shipping company. "But," my father said, "make sure that he's the right man, because an awful lot of people will take the card away and leave people stranded." So we waited in Lemberg in a hotel, and finally the man came. I think we waited a couple of days, and we were very frightened. A woman alone with five small children. My mother really gave him the once-over, but he had all sorts of identification, and he took us to the ship. We were all deathly seasick, except for my big brother. He had the life of Riley. He used to bring us food, but we were too sick to eat it. We were in one room. It took 2 weeks, and we finally landed on Ellis Island. That's when we really got scared. There were so many people being turned back because of eye trouble. My mother prayed morning, noon, and night. What would happen if four children passed and the fifth one had something wrong with the eyes? Well, we all passed, and we went to the waiting room, but my father wasn't there. He'd received a telegram saying the ship was to arrive the next day. All they could do was to send us back. We couldn't even think about this. But there is this marvelous organization, HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. They saw my mother crying, and they came over to us. We expected my father, and he isn't here. We don't know what to do. We're a Jewish organization. We'll take care of you. They have a hotel in New York City, so we went along with them. They treated us so kindly. They knew how scared we were. They gave us 2 rooms. And the next morning, my father came. I recognized him. Not that I remembered him, but I recognized him from pictures that he used to send us. I said, Tata, and he said, Chaikala. He saw the rest of the family, and he took us to New Jersey, to a palace. We had 5 rooms. It was something unheard of. In Europe, we used to live in 1 room. Another thing that I can remember, when we came to America, I was 12 years old. Before we left, my father wrote to my mother and told us to have us learn the Polish alphabet, because the letters are the same in English. We picked up English quickly. You know how kids are. My father never learned to read English. All he could do was sign his name. My mother went to night school because she also wanted to be able to sign her name. You never know when you might have to sign a paper. My father worked in Empire Bottling Works. My mother was ready to give birth to my brother Harry. Of course, he was born home. We lived in an Italian section on Bedford Street in New York. We had a big coal stove in the kitchen and a kerosene heater for the rest of the house. It wasn't easy, with 6 kids and a mother and father in the house. And we had an uncle living with us. We were fortunate in that we had a bathroom in the flat. Many people had bathrooms on the back porch or in the backyard. One time my brother Irving and my sister Faye each decided to take a bath. Faye rushed in and got the tub first, but Irving ran in behind her and threw her out of the water. It was very funny, but Faye and Irving never got along. We went to Newton Street School. The Italian boys used to beat the hell out of us, the greenies. The girls and the boys, Faye too. When we walked home from school, the great big husky Italian boys used to walk home behind us and kick us in the legs. We came home crying. So my brother Morris said, I'll go with you to school, and I'll watch, and let's see what happens. One of the Italian bullies started, and Morris beat him up. He wiped the sidewalk with him. We wore European clothes. We were poor. My mother had bought all brand new clothes for us to wear when we came here, and you couldn't just throw them out, so we wore them, and the kids used to make our lives miserable in school. Look at the greenie, look at the dress she's wearing, and they would laugh. But somehow we lived through it. We had wonderful parents and had a good family life, and we managed to outgrow all these things. Some of us were able to graduate school. I didn't. I went through 6th grade. I was 16, and I had to go out to work. The same as my older brother. We were 5 children, with a 6th on the way. My father was making $15 a week. We couldn't live on that. So we each one became 16. He got working papers and went to work. Faye graduated from grammar school. Harry graduated grammar school. Irving is the only one who went to college. We needed money. We were poor. Talk about money being scarce. I'll never forget, shortly after we came to this country, my mother told me, I was pregnant with Harry. I walked along the street one time and I passed a pushcart with oranges on it. She just stood there and looked at those oranges. She wanted one so badly, but she didn't have the 2 pennies to pay for one. So she went home. It was rough times at that time. After school, while the girls helped out in the house, helped with the wash, helped scrub the floors, helped cook, the boys sold pretzels on the street. After school, they went to the pretzel factory. My oldest brother didn't go because he was already working in the factory my father worked in. They were making stove polish. I needn't tell you what they looked like when they came home, but my brother Jack and Irving went out into the coldest, bitterest days. They went out with their baskets and sold pretzels. When the baskets were empty, they were so happy. They'd come home and throw the money on the table. Here, Mom, here's some money. How much money do you think there was? 60 cents. The pretzels sold for a penny each. It may not sound like much, but for 60 cents you could buy 3 pounds of meat and feed a family with that. It was rough times, it was hard times, but the thing that helped us through was a good family life. I went to work in Lewis's cigar factory. I worked there for a couple of months, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the girls. I didn't like the element. I didn't like the language that they used. I also worked for a time selling newspapers on the trolley near the shipyards. But some of the men were not very nice. I discussed it with my mother and father, and they agreed that I should quit. I went downtown to Hain and Company. I applied for a job, and they gave me one. I started at $5 a week, and I worked my way up to $8 a week before I quit. It was a lovely place to work. The other girls were very nice. Some of them were Jewish, and it was a beautiful store. It was a good 3-mile walk to work from Bedford Street, but you didn't waste your money on trolley cars. I worked there for a number of years until my father went into the bottling business. He'd worked for the Empire Bottling Works, but he went into business for himself, the Independent Bottling Works. We bottled oil, vinegar, ketchup, mustard. We all worked for him. My oldest brother Morris and my father would sell. Jack and Irving would do the bottling. I would apply labels and pack the bottles. I did that until I got married. Shortly after that, they went out of business. We all became citizens. But then I married Sam. He wasn't a citizen, therefore I lost my citizenship. So both of us went back and became citizens together. We were cousins. His father and my father were second cousins. I knew him for a long time. We used to go to visit one another. We came to America before Rosh Hashanah, and his family came after Rosh Hashanah. We used to visit them in Brooklyn. We married at 18 and 19. We were married just a short time when we bought a grocery store in Belleville, New Jersey. We worked there. It was hard work. We lived through a terrible depression, and we didn't make any money, but we had enough food and a good family life. And when you work in a store, you don't have time to go out and spend your money. So that was how we accumulated enough to go into the Martin Packing Company with Morris. We would always have get-togethers in one another's homes. We would have seders at my mother's, 20 or 25 people. My mother did all the cooking. My father would read the one half of the Haggadah, and then we would eat. Afterwards, we would all escape to the living room to socialize, and my poor father would finish the Haggadah by himself, falling asleep over it every few minutes. Occasionally, we saw our cousins. There was the Bressler family, who lived in Brooklyn, and the Finkel family. I remember long after we were married, we would all come to my parents' home on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur when the store was closed. On Yom Kippur, I would come early and do all the cooking for the following night after the fast. We would cook the chicken and let it get cold, and the fish and let it get cold. We would put the food in the refrigerator for the next night. On Yom Kippur morning, my mother would go to Shul, my brothers would always go to Shul, and my father. On Yom Kippur afternoon, the whole gang would come home, and they would be hungry. So even though you were supposed to fast, they would take the food out of the refrigerator and eat. My brothers, my Uncle Haskell and his family, my Mandelbaum cousins. And when my mother and father came home in the evening, there wasn't much food left. And I got a good lecture about that. My father was very observant. My mother was too, but not like my father. My mother could overlook some things, but my father was very strict. I remember one Saturday my father went to Shul and my brothers were going with him, but not my brother Irving. He said he just didn't feel like going. He must have been about 8 years old. Well, on a Saturday morning, you went to Shul with your sons. You didn't leave one home. He gave him a terrible beating. For a long time after that, he just hated my father, just hated him. But he raps Tevilim to this day, doesn't he? For one reason. One time he was very sick. He had appendicitis, and we all thought he was going to die. He promised my mother that if he ever got well, he would do it every morning. And he does to this day. He even took them with him on his honeymoon. He does it every morning, whether he's on a ship, on a plane, everywhere. Of course, on the plane to Israel, it was no problem. Everybody likes Tevilim. Was your father a strict father? He was strict in some ways, but he was very kind in other ways. He couldn't give us enough. He would say, "Molly, I think Shaika ought to have a pair of new shoes," even if it meant he couldn't have new shoes for himself. But if I didn't listen to him, even if I hesitated for 1 minute, he would let me have it. He was a good father, and he was strict, but very good to me. He used to come home every Friday and had his clothes laid out on the bed, and there was a dime for me. I didn't spend that dime. Looking back on it, what would you say about your parents? Were they ordinary people, unusually bright, special in any way? I wouldn't say they were unusually bright, but they were the most honest people that I know. They gave the whole family plenty of love. My father was ambitious, but things were bad at that time. All you could do was have a job and work. But then they bought a fish store. They worked in the fish store, but that was only on Thursday and Friday. The fish would be delivered on Thursday and sold on Friday. He and my mother worked in this fish place until we retired them. We all had enough money to retire them and take care of them, and they lived a good life. Sam died at the age of 80 on the golf course. Ida died at the age of 85 in an automobile accident while she was driving to pick up some old people to take them to a meeting.